Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to Faith and Reason here on Holy Family Radio, Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo. I'm your host, Dr. John Pinero, and for today's show, I'm going to be interviewing a person who's representing the Young Catholic Professionals. This is a very much a new group within the church, and I'm interested in it, and some folks had told me about it very recently, and I thought, well, this sounds like something you listeners would like to hear. So on Faith and Reason, we typically focus in on the Catholic intellectual tradition. That's really our theme of the show, but we consider that very broadly. And so today, I'd like to introduce to you Jennifer Baugh, who is the executive director and founder of Young Catholic Professionals, which is a wonderful and growing group within the church. And she's going to tell us all about that and some other things as well. And Jennifer, I'd like to welcome you to the program.
Thanks so much. It's such an honor to be with you all today.
Oh, thank you. So you're in Texas, right? Is that where you're calling from?
Yes, yes. Dallas, Texas is where we are, and the group started here in this great city, and I had no idea when I moved here that there was such a rich, vibrant Catholic group of people here. So it's really wonderful to be able to pull on the resources of these local Catholic executives who are truly engaged with their faith.
Well, I guess why don't we just start out and you could tell us about the Young Catholic Professionals, the group itself, just a brief overview, and then I'd like to know a little bit about how you formed the group and what inspired you to form it. I have all kinds of questions, but we'll just converse here for the next hour, and hopefully our listeners will not only learn about your group, but maybe find some inspiration of their own. Maybe they're curious about a niche that they'd like to fill in the church and how to do that as well. So what does your group do? There's lots of young this and young that groups in the church, as some who do a wonderful work, of course. So what is Young Catholic Professionals?
Right. So Young Catholic Professionals, or YCP as we call it, we are designed to encourage those young Catholics who are 20 to 39, so 20 and 30-year-olds who have recently graduated college, and we hope to inspire them to work in witness for Christ. So that's our slogan. And our threefold purpose involves encouraging these young Catholics to embrace their Catholic identity. So many of us these days, we're not quite sure what it means to be Catholic. We're not as well educated on the faith as we could be. And so a huge part of our ministry is to just, you know, inspire these young adults to really embrace their Catholic identity and love it so that they feel confident saying that they are Catholic in the public square. So that's number one. Number two is we want to foster that sense of community. It's so often in this world, it's so difficult in this world we live in today to connect. And so we, through our various programs and efforts, we truly try to build that supportive community so that we can rely on one another and encourage one another for the journey ahead. And then finally, we want to inspire a personal call to action. So we're given the richness of our Catholic faith, and it's truly our obligation and our privilege to use it to try to make the world a better place. And that can be done through just simple witness and the ordinary activities of our daily life. And so we focus on that bridge between faith and work. We're trying to encourage these young Catholics to live integrated lives so that their faith is not just something that they practice on the weekend, but that is truly sort of, imbued into their entire existence, including the workplace. So our patron saint is Saint Joseph the Worker, and he is our model, helping us to view our work with the eyes of faith, but then also to use our work as an opportunity to witness and evangelize. So we have a whole different host of programs and events, really designed for young professionals at every stage of the faith journey. So we have a free executive speaker series, which is monthly, and we invite local Catholic executives from all different industries to talk to our group about how they live their faith at work and what their particular challenge is to us as young Catholics. And at these monthly events, we're now attracting over 200 young adults on a monthly basis. So
wow. That's
it's
great.
Really inspiring to see that on a Tuesday evening.
Mm-hmm. Some of the problems you had to surmount, then, one of the things you mentioned was a poorly catechized young people. That seems to me is a problem not just among young Catholics, but among Catholics generally, and maybe Christians even more broadly speaking. So that's one difficulty. But the other, I would say, specific to young people maybe, and you can tell us more about this, specific to young people and especially recent college graduates, so you're trying to get your career off the ground. You've been very busy in college, so it comes down to a matter of time. Sometimes, and then, how many waves do you want to make it at work in a new workplace if that's called for in terms of witnessing in the public square? So it seems that you have there's a lot of difficulties that you would have to help people overcome. Some of them maybe are a matter of the will and the fortitude to get through them, maybe some education. How do you balance those things?
I mean, these things are challenging, but it's amazing when you have the support of your peers, and you have those, sort of the encouragement and the challenge of those who have gone before us. It's amazing how much people will rally when they feel like they're supported. So, I mean, yes, these things are very challenging. We are a generation where we don't read, and so because of that, a lot of us, are not even aware of some of the wonderful writings of our popes, or even taking the time to read about the saints, or some of the richness of our faith. And so
that's not just that's not just something cranky professors say, that the generation that doesn't read. I just thought maybe that was us, and so that's true.
It is true, and
okay.
So I mean that's part of the reason our current Pope is so such a blessing, because he's giving us sort of these visual cues on how to live our faith. But
yes.
So many of us really have not taken the time to truly just sit down and learn our faith. And so what our challenge with young Catholic professionals is, how do we give them the fullness of the truth? How do we present it to them in a way that's sort of relevant to them, engaging, vibrant, and sort of these quick sound bites, because we have limited attention spans as young professionals. So we try to incorporate it into everything we do in a way that is sort of simple, streamlined, and engaging. So before all of our speaker events, we have a priest who leads us in a blessing, but also a short reflection on the catechism. And so this, sort of gets us into the right spirit before we listen to the speaker, who is a lay person. All different kinds of avenues we try to educate our members on the faith. When people hear about the truth, they always look for more. So I think it's also a witness, I think, to our priests and clergy that we want to know the truth, so give it to us. Please don't give us the watered-down version.
Mm-hmm.
So,
when you were talking about the integrated life a few minutes ago and faith and work, I couldn't help but thinking of St. Jose Maria Escrivá and Opus Dei. And it sounds like you have a similar purpose, not in structure, maybe not an overall purpose, but at least that idea of your faith and your daily life, whatever your job happens to be, and that being integrated, and certainly not just being a Sunday Christian or a Christmas and Easter Catholic, or we have all kinds of terminology for this. But was that any inspiration at all?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, he's given us so many, he's given us so much guidance, it is very similar. It's that notion of, living your faith in the ordinary and often sometimes difficult activities of daily life. So that was certainly an inspiration. I think a lot of it was, trying to, when I, back, thinking back 4 years when I was thinking of this ministry, it's really intended to be sort of an evangelizing ministry, and I was trying to think, how could I really, you know, reach these people? And we are still focused as young people on our careers, and you know, young professional organizations, the secular ones, are very popular here in Dallas, and so it was the idea of trying to, you know, meet us where we are as young professionals who do care about, you know, growing professionally, but to encourage them to see that that's only, you know, part of a bigger vocation that they have, which is to, you know, love God and, you know, to embrace their faith. So I think that the fact that we have, you know, the name of our ministry, Young Catholic Professionals, it just truly helps us have that sort of identity when we go to work the next day is, you know, before I'm a professional, I'm a Catholic. So
I'm surprised there was not some organization out there already trying to do this. And what I mean by that is, especially beginning with John Paul II's papacy, there's been this great emphasis on youth and young adults. And I remember being surprised when I was in my early 30s and I thought, well, how long do I still get to be a young adult in the church? And the Vatican's answer was, well, until you're 40, really. And I thought, well, that's it's a very large understanding of what a young person is that the church has. And I found it surprising in reading through some of the articles about your group that you said you looked at lots of different young adult communities, but just didn't find one. I think the word maybe used in one of these interviews was that was vibrant enough. I mean, it doesn't seem that it wasn't just a matter that it wasn't aimed specifically at professionals who have to, you have to work on your career and nurture it at this point. You can't wait to do that till you're in your 40s. Neither can you wait to nurture your faith till you're in your 40s. People do, and thank God they're able to undergo conversion later in life up to the end. But you know, you don't want to put off either of those things.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you would have thought. I was so surprised. But when I, you know, when I thought of this idea, inspired, of course, by the Holy Spirit, you know, I spent a lot of time doing research because I would have thought that there would have, you know, been something like this out there. But what I really found is that this generation is sort of a real gap in our church in terms of, you know, the attention that the church focuses to this age range. The church does spend time with, you know, kind of the newly married couples who are, you know, having young children, trying to educate their children in the faith. So there's an emphasis on that. There's also an emphasis in youth, but much younger. So, you know, kind of high school, maybe even college level, there's good, you know, college campus ministries and things like that. Mm-hmm. But really that age range after college, kind of before you're starting to have your young family, there's really kind of a gap. And there are young adult ministries and things like that, and some of them are successful across the country. I'm sure there are. But what I found here in Dallas when I was searching is that it just seemed like everything that I at the time was learning about the faith, which was so, so rich and so, you know, just over, it's a great treasure. And I just was so surprised that some of the local young adult ministries, they were either poorly attended or, you know, perhaps some of the people who were organizing the events did not seem, you know, excited to be there, or maybe perhaps the event was not run in sort of a professional manner. And I thought to myself, if we truly love our faith, and it to us is the most important thing in our lives, shouldn't we run our events that sort of convey how much we value it? And so that was part of the reason of, you know, even the word professional is not only are we professionals, but we should host our events in a professional manner, because it sort of lends that respect to our faith, which we treasure. So that was part of it as well in Dallas.
Sure. So a bit of reverence and decorum at your meetings, for example, and starting them off with a reflection.
Yes.
Now, so any old young adult group wouldn't have worked, And what you say about this generation, I think, is as I'm an historian by trade, and when you look over the course of American history, one of the things, especially sociologists have said of more recent history, is Americans, there's fewer and fewer of us that belong to what used to be called, and were called by Alexis de Tocqueville, intermediary associations. That is, Edmund Burke called them the little platoons, but these groups, small groups, large groups of people that are not governmental, and they're mm-hmm. they're also not the family, although that's one of these associations and the basis of society. And those have just disappeared, everything from bowling leagues to club memberships, and you see these older groups that were very prominent in the 40s or 50s or 60s, and the members are aging, and they try to get new recruits, and they can't.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
I think in a very general way, this is just a problem, and it's congratulations to you to be able to start a group that not just start a group that fizzled out a few months later at the parish for lack of interest, but you like a business person, I think you saw a need there in the community, you saw interest, and you tapped it the way an entrepreneur would, I think, at least the way I hear your story, and it's been very successful. How big is the Young Catholic Professionals, YCP, outside of the Dallas area?
Well, so, we did start the ministry in August of 2010, and so, we've been around now for about 4 years, and it's, really in the last sort of year or so that we've just, through the success of our efforts and kind of our members who might be moving to different cities or various national interview opportunities and even just the nature of social media, our ministry has sort of gotten some good press on a national level. And so we've been approached by young adults now across the country. And so at the time, about a year ago, we were not at the place where we were ready to, sort of have a package that we could take to different cities, and we've been working on that over the last year, and so we've put together an operations manual and templates and essentially a startup package for these young adults in different cities who want to launch a chapter. So the goal for this year is to try out three chapters, YCP Dallas, which is already thriving here in our local community, and then YCP San Antonio and YCP Fort Worth, and, really learn from that experience this year, and then in 2015 hopefully launch on a wider scale. But I have conversations with young adults in different cities on a daily basis who are interested in bringing this ministry to their city.
That sounds like very prudent planning on your part. And That Faith in Work lecture series you talked about, or Faith at Work, maybe. I'm not sure which one, what your terminology for it now, but that's the kind of lecture series I think Aquinas College, where I teach, I would love to see a sponsor something like that. The Catholic Studies program I direct had held a few similar events, and that was kind of the idea. How does your faith affect your job, and how does one witness in the American workplace when it's considered almost taboo to witness in the American workplace? That's a real, how do you balance those things? Especially, even at a Catholic college like where I teach, I know very young Catholic faculty who are not tenured, and the college is going through a renewal process. And how much do you push if you don't have tenure, for instance? That would be from a professor's perspective. Mm-hmm. But there's always concern about your job as well.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's so many wonderful things to discuss, and we as young people have so many questions. That's part of the beauty of this age, right? And so we really are looking for guidance, and if we're not getting it from our church, we're probably not getting it from the best source.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really kind of what we're trying to do, is facilitate that so that these young people start to make decisions, based on the guidance of our church, to give us the right direction. And so we have different, we also have a panel discussions where we basically focus on a particular virtue. So we've had, you know, panels on courage, discernment, prudence, honesty, humility, gratitude. And so we have two executives on a panel and a priest, and it's moderated by an executive mentor. And so we have a very interactive, lively discussion on these particular virtues as they apply to our workplace and daily life. So I think it's just so important as well to promote dialogue, which is what you all are doing through your own ministry. But I think that that's part of the challenge in our world today, is that, you know, discussions become so emotionally charged that we're not as open these days to just dialogue. And so I think that that's another thing we're trying to do, is just encourage conversation in an open and loving format.
What's been the response of, you've mentioned a few priests who attend your meetings and help you out at the meetings, so it sounds like you do have not only pastoral guidance, but pastoral support. I'm wondering about the institutional church, the clergy. What's their response been to your group? And I asked this question with a broad concern. I recall when I lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, I started a young men's fellowship, we called it, at the parish church I was at. And it didn't take long for the Knights of Columbus, our local council, and I'm a third-degree knight myself now, but I wasn't at the time, to see it as a sort of a threat, as if there could only be one men's group in this billion-person church that we belong to, or, you know, at the parish level. And I thought, well, how odd, because what I was looking for at the time was I had the pastor's support, was just trying to do something that the Knights did not do. And so I could see, you know, other young marriage group, well, should they go to your group? So it's a professional, they're married, and should they go to your group or theirs, and do they stay away? And I wonder about this thing we call competition, I guess, even within the church, because I've seen it before firsthand, and was wondering if you could speak to that a bit as well.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. You know, we have experienced some of those challenges along the way, but, you know, our bishop here in Dallas is probably our number one fan. He's incredibly supportive, and he's endorsed the ministry, you know, through a written endorsement letter as well as a video. He's spoken at our group twice, and he said that he considers this ministry to be the answer to the problems of our church today. So when you have a statement like coming from your bishop, you know, that's really helped us tremendously. That's been such a huge, huge blessing. But it has been interesting, you know, that you mentioned a little bit of competition. It's unfortunate that we do have that sometimes in our church, because, you know, just like there's so many different religious orders that, you know, add to the fabric of our faith, you know, the Salesians, the Dominicans, the Missionaries of Charity. I mean, you know, it's wonderful to have those sort of different ministries, which just add to the color of our church and, you know, just really seek to reach people. And we should, as a church, we should come together more, I think, and help each other and encourage that. You know, it says in scripture, if they're not against me, they're with me. So, we did have a little bit of that. I mean, I think at the beginning, some of the, local, you know, ministries at a parish level were maybe, surprised at our incredible growth and attendance at our events, and probably a little bit concerned that it would sort of diminish their efforts. Mm-hmm. But we've actually done a survey of our members, so we have, you know, a ton of testimonials now from our members representing all parishes throughout the Metroplex, and so many of them have said that YCP has encouraged them to become more involved in their local parish. So that's really what we're encouraging, is we, you know, we're serving a different purpose. We want to bring together these young adults. We want to inspire them and invigorate them, and then have them, you know, bring that energy to their parish life in addition to the workplace.
And that makes sense, that personal call to action you mentioned earlier.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think that we are truly serving a different purpose. For example, another program I haven't mentioned yet is our executive mentorship program. So we pair our young professionals with Catholic executives in their field. And this is something that's a great value to our members. So many of us live away from our families, and it's not that easy to find a mentor in your workplace. So being able to facilitate that relationship is kind of rare, a relationship based on faith. And so that is something that unique that we're offering. And as a part of our service, we young professionals who are, given so many tools and so many words of wisdom from our speakers, we in turn now will go mentor local college students, local Catholic college students through our college student mentorship program, and encourage these, graduating juniors and seniors not to lose their faith as they enter the workplace. Because that's really where a lot of the challenges come. You might have the support of your campus ministry, but as soon as you step into the real world, there's just so many temptations and challenges.
I've heard it said many times that a lot of young people lose their faith in college. Some find their faith in college. But immediately afterward, there does seem to be, I think you're right, probably not a lack of concern, but just not as much attention paid to those immediate post-college years, because there's a lot of attention paid to the college years. And so there in Dallas, you have, besides the University of Dallas, what other Catholic colleges do you have in the region there?
Well, we're also targeting the students at SMU, so there's a surprisingly large Catholic presence at the school, mm-hmm. and so we've been working with them as well, and we have a lot of students that are really interested.
Do non-Catholics come to your meetings? It sounds like what you're saying could very well match up to Christians from other traditions in the sense of witnessing to the faith in the workplace and hanging on to it and balancing career and all that. It sounds like maybe your group could have some reach and then some evangelical and apologetical opportunities as well.
Yes, absolutely. So we do have non-Catholics that attend our events, and we've actually had some non-Catholics who have become Catholic after kind of involvement in our events. But so we also have networking happy hours at local bars and restaurants, and these events typically bring in 160, 170 young professionals to network and meet each other. So that's a great witness as well to the community that our Catholic faith. We do encourage and support community activities. And then at our speaker events, oftentimes people in the community might want to come to hear a high caliber speaker, like we've had, the former CEO of American Airlines speak. So that's a great draw to bring in the community. But then when they come, they'll hear the short reflection from the priest on the catechism. And then we close all of our events with our prayer to our patron, St. Joseph the Worker. So it's really presented in a way that I think makes the Catholic faith, look appealing, which it is and which it truly is. I think that that's great as well. And I think that it is a place where non-Catholics do feel comfortable. I don't think they would feel out of place.
How do you define professional? I mean, are there membership requirements then? And
yeah,
what about it?
So our patron, St. Joseph, was a humble carpenter. So really when we say professional, it's anyone who works for a living. So, we've polled our members and we have all different industries and professions represented. But when it comes to your question about membership, so some of our events are free and open to the public. Others are based on annual membership. So we launched our annual membership program a couple of years ago in response to some of our members' requests saying that they were looking for more than just a speaker series. So in exchange for $120 a year, our members get these different benefits, including the executive mentorship pairing. We also provide pairings to spiritual directors. So we have a team of priests and consecrated and deacons who we pair with our members if they're interested. We also have these panel discussions, which I mentioned to you. And then we also offer exclusive opportunities to our members. So at this point, we have a lot of local businesses who are interested in hiring our members. And so we offer job leads, you know, different benefits like that first to our members.
I think you just sensed my next question. It was going to be about career opportunities and finding them,
right,
your group, and lining people up with maybe companies they would want to work for, the companies that this is the kind of person they would like in their company.
Right. I'd love to just share one great story. One of our members, he was in the seminary. He had been in the seminary for about 7 years, and he just, you know, at that point decided that he was not called to be a priest, and so he, you know, moved to Dallas, and, you know, was sort of in that interesting transition of coming back into the secular, you know, secular corporate world. And, you know, he wasn't really finding his way, and he met one of our YCP mentors, executive mentors, and just sort of shared his story and, you know, just shared some of his career goals, et cetera. And the mentor actually created a position at his firm for this young member, just because of, you know, the connection in the faith and just sort of seeing this person's potential. So I think that we as Catholics are called to do that. We're called to help each other, you know, not just in growing in faith, but also, you know, with our professional lives, if we are truly a family of faith.
This is Dr. John Pinheiro, and you've been listening to Faith and Reason. I'm interviewing today Jennifer Baugh, who is the founder and executive director of Young Catholic Professionals, and we've been talking about young people in the church and young professionals in particular, and this great group that she founded that's only about 4 or 5 years old, Young Catholic Professionals, very active in Dallas, and probably in the next couple of years, I think you'll see this more around the country and maybe even here in Michigan, I hope. Sounds like a great group. Jennifer, I'd like to ask you now take a little bit of a different turn with the show and just say, if you get a lot of young Catholic professionals in one place and maybe at a young Catholic happy hour, it seems to me not everyone's going to be married, so there must be some stories there. This could almost double as a young Catholic singles professional group for some of them, perhaps, and meet their future spouse.
Oh, yes. So we've actually had 5 marriages.
Wow.
Which have been
great.
Wonderful, and I'm actually near my my part-time associate, and she met her husband through Young Catholic Professionals, and they're now expecting their first child.
Oh, that's great.
So,
congratulations,
yeah, so it's,
to her.
It's great in that sense, too, because it is difficult to meet other Catholics these days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great to be able to sort of facilitate that, and It's not sort of awkward like some of those purely singles ministries, because we have a different focus. So because of that, I think kind of more natural.
Right.
It's a little bit more natural, I think.
Yeah, I guess at one of those singles events, everyone's there for the same thing, right? Everybody knows
right.
it. And looking around, okay, I never went to one of those because I married quite young, so I'm not sure how those work exactly. So
you're probably very lucky that you have not had to experience those.
I imagine so.
Yeah.
Now, so the theme of our show, Faith and Reason, is the Catholic intellectual tradition and how faith meets culture, and particularly that intellectual tradition meets culture. Here on Holy Family Radio, we have many a growing number of local shows, and this is my focus as the director of Catholic Studies at Aquinas College. Is very interested in the intellectual tradition of our faith. Was there anything particular in that intellectual tradition of the Church that has been a resource for you or an inspiration for you? Maybe particular authors or the works of saints or certain thinkers, that kind of thing. I'd be interested in exploring that for a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. I would have to say, you know, without exaggeration, that our beloved Pope Benedict, Pope Emeritus, so many of his writings have truly inspired this ministry. So when I was coming back, or not coming back, but growing in the fullness of my own faith, I was searching. I was searching for thirsting, really, just for more information about the faith. And just reading through his writings just provided such clarity and such, what can I say, just motivation for me to do something like this. The ministry is actually based on one of his quotes where he said, "No one can ignore the genuine difficulties which the church encounters at the present moment. However, we can take heart in the promise offered by a new generation of Catholics whose experience and convictions can renew our church." And so that really, to me, was a direct kind of a direct challenge to be that new generation of Catholics. You also mentioned the saints, and, you know, the saints have just been such a huge motivation for this. You know, you see so many of them who had to endure, you know, trial to really bring the faith into the public square, and, you know, really just such great role models for us. We had one of our speakers who said, you know, "Your role models should not be your peers. Your role models should be the saints." And I think that that's just so important for us. So saints that we love, of course, our patron, you know, St. Joseph, the worker. You know, I also in particular love St. Francis de Sales and pull on his writings quite a bit. We love Blessed Mother Teresa, who, in, you know, I consider to be probably one of the most inspiring entrepreneurs I have ever encountered.
That's interesting.
There's just so many.
So when you describe her as an entrepreneur, what are you thinking? What are you thinking about?
With Blessed Mother Teresa?
Yes, yes.
I mean, just so many things that, you know, even, you know, that prayer that she said, you know, "What you may spend years creating or building, somebody might destroy overnight."
Mm-hmm.
You know, build anyway, create anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Just her whole entire life of just, you know, listening to God, realizing that she had a unique plan for her life, and, allowing that to be her motivation to try something new, for the kingdom. And she encountered tremendous resistance, but persevered. Just her whole, the way she went about it. Too, with just kind of such, what can we say? She was a little bit assertive at times, but
yes, very much.
You know, I think entrepreneurs have to be, if you really truly believe in what you're doing, you have to be willing to take the risk. It has to be for the glory of God, and you can't do it alone.
Risk is, that's when I think of entrepreneurs, I think of their capability of enduring great risk. Or being able to live with risk in a way that I can't. And so this is how I know I'm not cut out to be an entrepreneur, I think, because of that risk tolerance.
It's interesting that you say that, that you're not called to be an entrepreneur, because I think as Catholics, we all are. We all are called to take that risk for our faith, you know,
mm-hmm.
and to sort of put ourselves out there. You know, even our Pope keeps saying, "Make noise, you know, go forth in a new way to bring the gospel to the masses."
So that's a much broader understanding, I see. Sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
I think often of what you were mentioning, the saints and things that they would have had to put up with in the public square. And I always think as Americans, as anti-religious as our federal government has been lately, and as oppressive as certain states have been towards the faith and running adoption agencies and hospitals and such out of business, and now maybe Christian-owned businesses in some cases. As much of that as we face in America, I think of what goes on in China today, or in Nigeria, or in places, particularly in Sub-Saharan Africa, where there's disputes among the population that are ethnic and religious. And I think if we're afraid of someone looking askance at us, or not really, they're not impressed with us because of, or they look down on us for some reason because of our expressing our faith in some open way at work, you know, that's a lot. that's not as bad as being boiled in oil.
No.
Or being tossed to lions in the Colosseum. And I've heard Chinese Christians speak on this when they encounter Americans who were just merely, a look is enough to drive them away scared, a bad look from somebody. And right. They say, do you know what we put up with in China?
And how many martyrs have we had now who have literally given their lives so that we today, can still practice our faith? And we almost owe it to them.
Sure.
So, it is important to read about the saints and really ask for their intercession in our own lives. And, maybe we will not be called to that extreme martyrdom, but we can certainly practice, offering up little trials or accepting ridicule from our peers because we stand up for the faith, knowing that we come supported by the saints and also by our peers. So I think that the whole community aspect of it is so important, is just knowing that you have others who are on this journey with you. And I think that we as Catholics should really try to reinforce one another a little bit more.
And I think particularly in the case of professionals, business people, sometimes in American political rhetoric, and in the thinking of many Americans, especially following 2007, 2008, and the recession and banking crises, et cetera, Enron, you name it, some people have, they just look negatively at entrepreneurs or at business people, and they only see greed. And
right.
I hear accusations like this all the time, and it's always astonishing to me there's good that business people do for their community, and I don't mean through philanthropy, I mean through the businesses that they run, the businesses themselves, and what
Absolutely.
They do for the community. And so it's another thing I think your group is doing that's a wonderful thing is making sure these business people remain connected to the Catholic faith. But it's also just a reminder to the community, I think, that there's a lot of good Christian business people out there.
Yes, and I mean, that has been, for me, probably one of my most favorite things about this experience is just meeting so many successful Catholic executives who are so humble, so generous, truly care about, the local church, and they truly care about us and passing on that legacy of faith. And I think, providing a platform so that we can meet them is just so, so important for us. It's the power of witness. It's really remarkable, when so much of the media, shows all these characters who are motivated by, by greed, to be able to meet people who are authentic and who are, motivated by that higher standard of virtue, it's just remarkable. And it's been a wonderful experience here in Dallas.
Well, as we go into the last 10, 15 minutes of the program here, Faith and Reason on Holy Family Radio, I'd like to take, I won't scare you with this question, a more personal turn. All I mean by that is, if you could, I think it would illustrate for our listeners, it sounds like your founding of Young Catholic Professionals, and you touched on this earlier, was part of your own conversion experience, which is it doesn't seem like it's part of a common thing among young people when you're going through it. I remember doing it in college myself. I was a non-practicing Catholic who, through a variety of mentors and reading on my own in a vibrant parish, was drawn back into the life of the church. But it sounds like the refinding or renewal of your own faith led to this group, and it's a wonderful example of what conversion can do for not just us, but we exist in community, and you've emphasized community a lot. But if you could speak to our listeners a little bit more about that, I'm sure there's some young people or older people, people of all ages listening who their faith in Christ is in need of renewal.
Right. Well, you know, I had grown up, my mom went to Catholic schooling, and so she was Catholic, so we were baptized and everything, and confirmed, but, you know, she drifted away herself a bit from the faith, and so she came back in a real way when my brother and I, you know, were teenagers. And so we really not, you know, through no fault of my mother or anything, but we, you know, we didn't have a strong foundation in the catechism. We didn't really pray very much as a family. We did go to Mass on Sundays, of course, but, you know, a lot of my faith as a young person was just really tied to just obeying my mother. Mm-hmm. And so it was finally when I went to undergrad, you know, that I did make the decision to, you know, to go to Mass on Sundays. But I had always been so busy, such a high achiever, that I never really took the time to dive into my faith and ask what does my faith mean to me? And how does this affect my life? Am I a disciple of Christ? I never asked those questions. I was just so focused on projects, etc. I went to go get my MBA, and I was recruited by a firm here in Dallas. But the interesting thing is that they did not want me to start until the new hire start date, which was about 8 months after my graduation from my MBA program. So this was the first time in my life I was, you know, not bombarded with exams and sort of obligations. And it became clear to me, after a, you know, series of long walks and just kind of trying to figure out what I would do during this 8 month period. It became clear to me that God was saying, this is your time that I'm giving you, you know, this is your time to get to know me and take advantage of it. So, I realized that I did not have a prayer life, and that my faith was really superficial. And so I just started praying and asking the Lord to help me to know him better so that I could love him better. And he answered my prayers in such a profound way. I just remember feeling, you know, overwhelmed with grace. And it was at that point that I said, I want to be an authentic Catholic, and I don't care what anybody else thinks about that, you know, boyfriends, anybody. This is my choice, and this is where I'm finding freedom and peace. And so at that point, I didn't really know what it meant to be an authentic Catholic, but I was excited for the journey ahead, and I just wanted to read everything I could. So, you know, that's what I mentioned before about Pope Benedict's writings and, you know, the lives of the saints and starting attending daily Mass and, you know, witnessing the faith of those, you know, those Catholics who were so devoted. And I really just fell in love with the church, and I just could not believe that, you know, this majestic faith that we have wasn't kind of being shouted from the rooftops, as our blessed John Paul II has said that we should proclaim our faith from the rooftops. And so it was sort of at that point where I was, you know, I was looking to meet other young Catholics, and I knew I had this impending job as a consultant, which I knew would be very secular, very focused on money, very focused on, you know, greed and all of that. And so I was just really concerned that I just couldn't lose this newfound faith starting this new job. And so that was really what inspired the ministry, is I wanted to meet like-minded Catholics to, you know, hold me accountable. And so that was... that was the beginning of this beautiful journey. Mm-hmm. So about 8 months into this consulting job, you know, we had started the first YCP event the same week as my start date on my new job.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yeah, and the response was overwhelming. I mean, it wasn't just sort of a fad, but consistently at our monthly events, we were just having such a large turnout and such enthusiasm from our attendees. And so all I could think about was this ministry, and would work on the business plan night and day. And at one point, I just felt so called to pursue this, you know, 100%, that I quit my job without anything lined up and lived off of my signing bonus. They allowed me to keep it, even though I hadn't been there for a full year. And so I waitressed and continued to work on the ministry and met a few very generous Catholic executives in the community who really, you know, believed in what I was trying to accomplish. And so they provided the startup capital for me to be able to do this full time. So it's really amazing, you know, when we have that moment of silence, that 8 months that I had mm-hmm. of, you know, and we open ourselves up. It's amazing what God can do.
It is really amazing. That's a great story. I mean, that's a really great story, and I hope our listeners can very much learn something from that. You never quite know where God's going to take you, particularly when you enter into your own conversion or renewal, and you think you know where life is headed, or you think you know even what your type of work, your career, your vocation is going to be, and things can be very unexpected. I was thinking earlier as you were speaking earlier in the program that how does she balance a consulting job with presiding over this organization that sounds very large and growing and now I know. is this still your full-time work then, this ministry?
Yes, this is my full-time job, and I'm actually hoping to raise money to hire a second full-time staff person because, you know, just as I mentioned briefly before, the demand is there, and at this point I am truly just limited by the amount of hours that I can put in a day.
Yes, so, I understand.
Yeah.
The Catholic Studies program I directed at Aquinas College was a program I directed along with our founded along with our Rome semester program, and I remember that the larger it got, particularly the speaker series, we had to bring in an advisory board, but I don't have any administrative help, and so what, you know, end up leaning on the faculty and students to help, because it really is a lot for one person to engage in these very large events and plan travel for people and the curriculum, and there's a lot that it entails, but it's really important work, and you feel sometimes, or I do, like you have a lot of balls up in the air that you're juggling, and you're just trying to keep them all there because none of them can drop. So I'm glad you're interested in hiring somebody else to help you. That should be a big help, and I think it'll be a big help to all the young Catholic professionals out there, right? Who would love to have this come to their city or their area.
Yes, I mean, and the idea is we're hoping to build something that can be lasting. And to do that, you have to provide the structure,
right,
and it has to be set up correctly. Because, you know, so often, and I'm sure you experience this where you are too, but at these Catholic dinners and Catholic events, and even, you know, the board members for local Catholic schools or the diocese, the board members are older, and, you know, we need to be thinking who's going to be on the board of this Catholic school, you know, 20 years from now.
Yes.
And at the rate we're going with our faith, I just read a statistic that said 7 out of 10 young adults who grew up in the faith will no longer be practicing by the time they're 28. So if we're taking these statistics to heart, you know, we have to be doing everything we can so that, you know, we can continue to have our Catholic schools and you know, have a thriving diocese. It's almost, there's a sense of urgency here, and not in the sense that we, you know, don't trust that God will provide, but in the sense that we are called to be active contributors here, collaborating with Christ so that, you know, we don't lose people. I hope that our ministry, if anything, can be a little bit of a wake-up call.
I remember being at a fundraising party for Aquinas, and a young person, I thought maybe she was almost 30. I'm not sure, but 20s, could have been early 30s, but I'm pretty sure late 20s, came up to me and said hello. Well, it was one of the benefactors of Aquinas, but everybody else in the room was I'm in my 40s, and they were probably at least 10 years older than I was. And
right.
I remember just – I was just startled. I thought – I just hadn't encountered a benefactor that was of such a young age. It was very interesting to me. And then you think
right.
You don't just want to think in terms of philanthropy, although I know your bishop called you guys the future philanthropists, so you better be ready
right.
for that. Be ready for that. But I think there's something so great about saving the souls of these people, and then there's our activity on earth, of course, and we have to maintain schools in our parishes, and we never quite know what the church is going to look like in any age in terms of parishes
right.
and schools. But on the other hand, I think it's very prudent of you also to pay attention to those things. In our closing minutes here of the program, can you tell our listeners where they can go to find out more about Young Catholic Professionals?
Yes, we have a website, and the address is www.youngcatholicprofessionals.org. And, you can visit our site, and there's a part of the page that's how to launch a chapter, how to start a chapter
okay,
in your
good.
City. And so we're very much interested in hearing from young adults nationally, even though I mentioned that we are trying to be prudent this year. I am still in conversations with these young adults because they're in different cities, because there are things that they can be doing in the meantime to lay the groundwork for a successful chapter in their city. And so I would love to hear from all of you and hopefully we can encourage each other so that this can become a movement rather than just pockets of isolated ministries.
Yeah, Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo, where we're also broadcast, but here in Grand Rapids is a wonderful city. We have a lot of Catholic business people. And we have our Catholic College Aquinas, but we have very large populations of Catholic students at nearby Hope College and at Grand Valley State University. And I think an area like this, which is already well noted for its philanthropy and its businesses and its Christian-owned businesses, would be very ripe for this kind of thing. Be a very necessary thing here.
Say you could be one of our first speakers. How about that?
Well, I don't know how much I know about business, but I'm always happy to help where I can. But I could probably also connect you to some other folks too. I think I'd be happy
That's
to
great.
Do that. Yeah,
That's
I'd be very
great.
Happy. Well, we have just a couple seconds left, so I want to thank you, Jennifer Baugh, for being on the program. This past hour, we've been talking with Jennifer about the Young Catholic Professionals, which she founded and now presides over as its president. And we hope and pray for your organization. I think it's a very necessary thing for young people and professionals in general. There's a lot of pressures in the modern world and that we face in the culture of death as Catholics of all ages. But each part of our life, in each part of our life, we face challenges that are distinctive. And I think your group very much seems to be doing the right thing for young Catholics who are definitely engaged in work and building up their career, and you seem very attuned to that, and we'll be praying for you.
Well, thank you so much, and it's truly been an honor to be with you all, and I thank you all for everything that you're doing as well, because we're doing the same work, right? It's just a different avenue.
Right.
So thank you as well for all that you do, and I'm very grateful for your prayers, and may we persevere in this together.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jennifer,
thank you.
For being on the program. And dear listeners, go to our website at Faith and Reason on the Holy Family Radio website, and you can find this show archived there once it has aired, along with many of our past shows. I'd like to thank our producer, Michael Fiorenzo, for setting us up with such wonderful guests like we've had today. And please keep tuning in to Faith and Reason here on Holy Family Radio, Kalamazoo, Grand Rapids. Have a good afternoon.
You've been listening to Faith and Reason with your host, Dr. John Pinero, on Holy Family Radio. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Dr. John Pinero is professor of history and director of Catholic studies at Aquinas College in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Faith and Reason is brought to you by Holy Family Radio. I'm your program producer, Michael Fiorenzo. Join us next time as we connect the riches of the Catholic intellectual tradition to daily life. Thanks for listening.